You're listening to Action Magazine, the podcast, the weekly download on what's shaping in the future of film, festivals, and the creative voices behind entertainment. I'm your host, Victoria, filmmaker, documentarist, and editor-in-chief of Action Magazine. From solo insights to on-the-ground festival coverage and stories from across the creative world, this podcast keeps you in action. We're going to have a conversation with Alistair Train, director of the new horror short film, Pearls. Let's get into it.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining this meeting.
No, thanks so much for having me on. It's a real pleasure.
It's a pleasure. My name is Victoria. I'm the editor-in-chief of Action Magazine. Just so you know a little bit about us, our magazine gives voice to emerging creatives, independent filmmakers, and inspiring stories and all that. So it's a pleasure to be talking to you. I'm very excited to ask you some questions. But let's start with the basics. Tell me a little bit about yourself and introduce us to your film.
Yeah, of course. So my name is Alistair Train. I'm a 33-year-old filmmaker. I work when I'm not directing and writing. I work at a film school, basically running the production department there. And I've been kind of making films since I was about, actually probably about 16 years old.
Wow, that's wonderful. And you said you work at a film school as well?
Yeah, exactly. So I run the production department at a film school called the London Film Academy, where, yeah, it's useful. I guess it's nice to meet so many eager and creative people.
Definitely. And tell us about what your short film is all about.
Yeah, so Pearls, I guess, is sort of about, it's like a study, I guess, on sort of like toxic masculinity, but also sort of like how repressing issues in your life or in a relationship can lead to, well, dire consequences.
And what inspired you to tell that particular story?
What's funny, like, it started with just, my dad and my brother were up in Scotland. They went on this walk and they were celebrating with a plate of oysters. And one of them, the words my brother used was thick and foamy. And I was like, well, what does that mean? My dad got him to eat it. He told me it was just one of the worst things he's ever eaten, but the image stuck in my head. So when I looked it up, what it turned out is that he basically ate a fertile oyster and the foam was oyster eggs, let's just say.
Yeah.
Just that image was so visceral, so disgusting. It started getting me thinking like, okay, well, I need a story where somehow this fertile oyster gets involved. And obviously, like, sort of a common conception is that oysters are aphrodisiacs. So I was like, great, cool. Got two very obvious things. Someone who's having issues in the bedroom eats these oysters, which ends up in this situation. But as I was sort of looking up for more sort of like aphrodisiacs and doing a bit more research, what I was noticing was how my social media pages, my Google searches, but suddenly I was just inundated with, you need to take this pill to solve your fertility issues. Yeah. You need to take this pill to grow your hair. You need to take this to up your testosterone. And I just thought it was sort of, you know, a lot of people, you know, you don't know what this stuff is. And it's these almost these magic, you know, fix yourself, like these magic pills just to fix your issues, basically. And that was kind of, that's what became the through line. Like a lot of people, and obviously not just men, but like a lot of people feel like, okay, I don't want to talk about this issue, but I can fix it myself. And actually, you don't really know what you're fixing. And if you're not talking to people, you're not helping yourself.
Exactly. It's very, very interesting thing that you picked, especially for a horror film and bringing that grotesque feel. I watched the trailer and I could feel that already by the trailer. So that was really great. I'm a horror fan. I love horror films, suspense, all that. And I have a question about how long did it take to shoot? How long did it take to edit? How was that process for this particular film?
Yeah, so we probably started our pre-production in December 2024. The actual shoot we started in Easter 2024. So that was like the end of March. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work, like so much prep, especially for a short like this, the amount of prosthetics, the set design. That's what took the most time to get into the right place, I'd say. And then for post, I mean, honestly, we were in post from about late April to January 2025. Like, obviously, when you're working in this space, a lot of it's, can you do a favor for me?
Yeah.
Can you help down the line? So you're kind of just calling in favors and it can be a bit stop-start. But no, I mean, it was so fun to put together, especially the sound design. That was such an amazing part of the development for me. But yeah, it took a long time, but you can't rush these things, you know?
Exactly. And how was your approach to directing the scenes and especially the actors and the blocking? How was that process?
Yeah, of course. I'd say really quite easy. Like we really made sure that we had plenty of rehearsals before. We also rehearsed with an intimacy coordinator for some of the scenes. So obviously there's a couple of sex scenes in the film, but what the intimacy coordinator actually brought was a real sense that Rory and Helen, who were playing Tony and Linda, a real sense that they were a real couple. Like they had like a few sort of like workshop games that sort of seem to break down their barriers, really. So, and I feel like a lot of people only think intimacy coordinator, sex scene, but actually, no, they bring so much more. So having that beforehand, rehearsing beforehand, we blocked everything. And basically on the day, it was just, guys, let's do it. Let's do what we've rehearsed. But I always love to give my actors a bit of space to try and improvise a bit as well. I think it's important that you collaborate with your DOP, you collaborate with your production designer, you collaborate with your actors as well. And if something doesn't work for them, you have to accept that and you have to find a way to justify it. So for me, it was just such a great and fun situation. It was just amazing to work with them.
And can you walk us through a typical day on set? What happened, like when you walk in? What do you do first? What's the whole vibe of a horror film set?
Oh man. So I've got to say, like day one was a bit more like it was like sort of filming the more drama scenes, I suppose. So we knew what was coming, but we were kind of holding back. Day two, three, and four, that was when we were filming like some of the transformation scenes. And I think it's like being respectful. A lot of the actors, you have to put them in really uncomfortable situations. Helen, unfortunately, had to sit in the corner covered in fake oyster and with fake pearls in her mouth. And it's kind of, just trying to keep everyone calm, but also there is a sick joy in looking at the monitor and everyone being like, I can't believe this is happening in front of me. But I guess being honest, it's the same as any film set. It's stressful, it's high energy, but you wouldn't be making films if you didn't want to be in that environment, you know?
Yeah, exactly. For me, I think horror films are so hard to make because you have to, create that fear and that suspense. It's not easy. And what were some challenges that you faced? What were some key elements that you think are necessary to bring in that suspense feel for those that are watching after? Like, which is it during the filming? Is it during post that you bring that to life?
I think the best thing is it's actually all of those elements. Like the coolest thing about when we were filming on set is we tried to do everything as practically as possible. So for example, for the, let's say the transformation scenes, pretty much 99% of that was on set in front of you. So everyone could see, oh my God, this horrific creature, or this horrible thing is about to happen. So I think it's important that even from set, you have these tangible things in front of you that people already are like, okay, that is freaky. But really, and I think everyone knows this, like your film is made in post-production. You can have the best shoot, you can have an amazing 4 days, and then you get to post and you're like, okay, none of this is working the way I imagined. Luckily for Pearls, mostly it came across from the script to the shoot to the edit. But I'd say that's where you need to really rely on. And what I'd say is super important is like watch horror films. Like there's so many filmmakers I know who kind of dabble in it, don't watch enough films. And it's like, if you want to scare people, you have to find these films that scare you. What do they have? And not copy, but can you homage? Can you learn from them? So I'd say on set, it's try and be as tangible as possible. Have these things there. But it's in post where it's, have you done your research? Have you watched enough films? Can you create that sense of dread?
Okay, and you mentioned that watching horror films really help. And for you, what were those films that ignited that passion for horror?
Oh, well, like one of the main ones, it's on my wall, The Thing, John Carpenter's The Thing. It's one of the first films I saw where, I watched it, I think at like 2 in the morning with my uncle. It was like a film that you should never have seen as a 12-year-old, but it just burned into my mind. And I think the great thing about horror in general and why I love it so much is because it deals with real fears. Obviously, there's extreme versions of them. Like Pearls is an extreme version of fertility issues, but it's things that an audience can grab onto, and you get a nice mix of like there's a moment where the audience can all relate with the character. They can imagine themselves in that situation. Obviously, you can't imagine turning into a giant oyster, but you can imagine like how the mistakes the character makes to get into that situation. And I think that's the cool thing with horror. It's a good, it can be as much of a drama as something that's there to scare you, you know?
Exactly. It plays with your imagination. It becomes real in a way, for sure.
Yeah, 100%.
And what do you hope people will take away from the film or feel while watching the film?
Well, the main thing people keep coming up to me afterwards and saying is that was disgusting, which is obviously a win for me. It's good to like disgust people. But what I hope is that it just makes you ask questions about maybe your own decisions in life. You know, are you making the right choices? Have you been open with those nearest and dearest to you? Because the more you keep something bottled up or you don't talk about it, you inadvertently end up punishing those around you. And I think that's the main message of Pearls. It's not don't eat oysters.
Exactly. And what was your favorite scene to shoot in the film?
Oh man. I've got to say the bathroom scene. I again, like, I don't want to give too much away, but like the tension in that moment, equally, because I remember being on set, like how we were really low on time, and it was like, can we even pull this off? And you know, it's the one thing that people come up to me afterwards who've seen it and just go, I can't believe what you managed to do to these characters. And that really sticks with me. Personally, though, another one I'd say just quickly is me, for when I first walked into, there's the Oyster Lab where Marvin, the character, sort of resides. And actually seeing the space that I'd seen before it was set dressed to walking into that space, and even seeing it on camera, it still blows my mind.
That's amazing. And the film is going to play in a film festival, correct?
Yeah, so it's actually playing in a few. We've got into 11 now. It played
Awesome.
at, thank you. Yeah, so it played at Motel X in Portugal. Then we're off to Ramis Creek in Norway. We're off to Film Quest in Utah. We're off to Celluloid Screams. We're basically going international.
That's amazing. Congratulations for that. That's
Thank
wonderful.
you.
And are you planning on making more horror films in the near future? What are your future projects like?
Yeah, 100%. So I feel like I'm finding well, you know, I don't want to, it's always hard because like you don't want to sort of lock yourself into a genre. And I'd say my previous films were more sort of dark comedy-esque. But the ones I've got coming up now are sort of more sci-fi dramas with elements of body horror, I'd say.
Interesting, cool. And what advice would you give to young creatives, emerging filmmakers that want to go into the horror genre and maybe are afraid to do with a low budget? What are some advices that you would give to them?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the most obvious one again is just like just watch films. I know a lot of people will say that's so obvious, but I work at a film school where I see people who don't. And then they don't understand why their ideas don't come across. And you're like, look, these are reference points. These are things that will help you make better films if you just watch them. But I'd say don't be scared about your budget. Obviously, having a bigger budget will always help in some ways. But having a smaller budget makes you think more creatively. What can you get away with? And just be equally, along with watching films, look how they handle things like monsters or transformations. Some of the best scares are the things that you don't see. And sometimes films get a bit too obsessed with being like, God, I've got to film every single detail. It's like, no, leave bits to your audience's imagination. If you know, your audience are the people who can make the scariest thing possible. You're just there to guide them on that way.
And speaking of elements to create a good horror film, I think sound and music is something that really brings those emotions. How did you approach sound, music? How much thought did you put into that?
So much, honestly, and I'd say it's with all my films. Like, firstly, what you said is 100% correct. Like, you can't build good tension or good fear without good music and good sound design. And I've seen so many films just fall apart because they've not put that thought in. So, listen to music. Like, I know it sounds very generic, but just like listen to music, listen to film scores, find little bits of. You know, just walk around and just listen to something and be like, how does this make me feel in this environment, you know? And do not skimp on your sound designer. Like, if you can get a good sound designer and you can put the time that's needed, your film will work whatever happens. If you sort of think like, oh, we can just get away with this, that's unfortunately, yeah, your film will fall apart. But for me, you're right. Sound design and horror, they go hand in hand. And if you don't have one, you can't have the other.
Exactly, it's so important. Without, like, if you mute a horror film, you don't feel anything. So it's very, very important.
And the evolution of horror film, how do you see it in your opinion, comparing, for example, The Thing that you watched when you were a kid, and comparing to movies that are releasing now? How's the shift going? Where do you see horror movies going from now on, too?
Well, I think what's cool is like, because you had this period where you had, I guess they call it like elevated horror with like, Hereditary or something like The Witch or The Lighthouse. But I think what you're getting now is like a nice mix of, I don't want to say schlocky, but sort of like you think of something like The Substance or Together. You get these sort of, or Weapons, Weapons is a good horror. You're getting this
Oh,
nice
yeah.
mix of elevated but fun again. And it's not
Yeah.
just grim all the time. So I think horror in any way is in a great space. Like I actually think it's going to be one of the better spaces for horror in a long time. I think we've moved away from the 2000s remake era and we're back into original ideas, disgusting, interesting imagery, and stories that actually are trying to say something again.
Exactly, yeah. I've recently seen that one that you just mentioned, along with one called Barbarian that was really interesting. It's creative, it's moving away from the typical, which is something cool, and something that you've done with yours too. It's something completely different that we can't picture unless we see the movie. So it's wonderful that the creativity is really coming back from all the remakes that people were doing in the past. Is there a social media or any website that people can follow the movie, how it's doing on festivals, things like that?
Yeah, of course. So you can either follow me directly, which is just Alistair, Alastair dot train for Instagram,
Perfect.
or it's Pearl's short film for the Instagram as well.
Perfect. And to wrap my questions, how would you define the film in three words just to make people go and see it?
Horrifying, thoughtful, oyster fueled.
Awesome. Is there anything else that you'd like to add that I might have missed?
Nothing. I think the only thing I'd love to add, if that's okay, is
Yes, of
like
course.
it's just something I sort of went back on. It's like real props, real effects. That's what makes a great horror film. I would never have made the film if I haven't met, if I hadn't met my production designer and his team. And I think like, if you can do things practically as much as possible, like get these things on screen, it's just an amazing feeling. And it gets all your crew on side as well. It's like you asked me earlier, how do you build a tone on set? If your crew can see the horrifying monster, they know what's going on.
Exactly, that helps a lot. And can you give us some examples of props that you guys built that were really effective, some that took time or some that were simple? How did you
Oh
approach
God, yeah,
that?
of course. So the coolest prop we built was the so we had to build like a giant oyster. Like this thing was like huge. So our production designer 3D scanned an oyster and then stuck 3D printed every individual section out, put it together. We hung it on a wall. The craziest one was, so again, it's like, I don't want to give too much away, but we had to scan one of our actors, fit them inside a giant oyster.
My
So we
God.
covered them in like, so we did a 3D scan of him, covered him in like this like sort of oyster skin latex and like fitted this half human shell into this oyster. And that I've still got that prop upstairs.
Wow, that's
It's so cool.
crazy. And how long did it take to put that in the person, that outfit?
Well, luckily we couldn't put the actual actor in there, but to actually fit his like 3D scan in
Yeah.
it days, literally.
Wow, yeah. It's a lot of work, but it makes a difference. It definitely brings
Really
the
does.
movie to life. It's authentic, and I think the audience can really tell when there's that effort behind. So that's
Totally.
wonderful. Unless you have anything else to add, I think those are all my questions, and I'm very excited to watch the film.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy it. And well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me.
No, it's a pleasure. If you ever have any other projects, it'll be a pleasure to, advertise them for you, talk about it. I'm always here if you need support.
Brilliant. Well, hopefully there's a few more coming up next year, so I might be reaching out again.
Perfect. Yes, please do, and I look forward to seeing your films.
Amazing. Thanks so much,
Thank
Victoria.
you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to Action Magazine, the podcast. Keep creating, keep dreaming, and stay in action. Catch you next week.